This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A warm welcome to all of you from the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Information on ordering a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon will follow the program. Please join us at this time every Sunday on this station.
When our loved ones lie dying, how do we understand the church's message? Death has been conquered. We're going to discuss that today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the depth of your word, that you are not satisfied just to deal with these matters of life that are rather incidental, but rather you want to go to the core of what are the basics of living and dying. So today, O God, we pray that you will not only teach us how to live, but to teach us how to die victoriously, for Christ has been raised. Amen.
Dearest Jesus, draw thou near me. Let thy spirit dwell with mine. Open now my ear to hear thee. Take my heart and seal it.
Friends in Christ, I am using the same text for today's message that we used last week. It is a text that is recorded in Mark 5, verses 21 to 43. Last week, we talked about the first 42 verses of that chapter, and this week, I'd like to deal with the last verse, verse 43. But in order to bring you up to date, what we talked about last Sunday, maybe there are those who didn't listen last Sunday, and those of you who might have listened can't remember and need a refreshment. So here it is. You'll recall that we were acquainted with a person by the name of Jairus. Jairus was a leader in the synagogue. It wasn't a very prestigious job. You might think, man, he is the head of the synagogue. You got to be careful with him. he has a lot of power. And not really. He was really put there to keep order. Because, you know, as they say, you can have a lot of discussion and some pretty heavy discussion when religion becomes the topic. And that was not only true in those days, it is still true today. Well, if anything got too hot, then Rome began to worry. Is there something going on there? Is there a group that's trying to rise up and will attack the Roman Empire? So those who were the people known as the guards or the presidents or the prestigious position of keeping order were very much aware of it. Jairus didn't even have to be a member of the synagogue. Probably wasn't. He didn't have to attend the services there either. And I wonder how often he did go to the Sabbath service. But I have a hunch that every time that Jesus was there in town in Capernaum, a town of about 4,000, that old Jairus was right there. Because Jesus was a great teacher. You know, they say that he was a rabbi that didn't have his duplicate in his day. And so when Jairus knew that Jesus would be in the pulpit, figuratively speaking, he found himself in the front seat. What the man said made a lot of sense. What Jesus said, there was something that Jairus' soul cried out for. And he could not understand why Jesus would have any enemies. With all of that enthusiasm for Jesus, Jairus never had a personal relationship with the Savior until one day he met him face to face. Isn't that kind of a picture of our day? Of every day, perhaps. People who thought, yes, Jesus. If I could only live like Jesus, his ethics, the way that he conducted himself, the way that he handled people. Oh my, what an example it really is. But never to get too close to him. For politically, it is best to keep a neutral position. In other words, neither be to be for him, nor to be against him. To be able to speak a good word for him, but also to be able to criticize him. To listen to him tell about the way that we ought to live, and then have him to proclaim that he was a promised Messiah, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. Now, Jairus was not sure about those things. They went beyond him, and he did not want to get identified with that message of redemption and forgiveness and life everlasting and a promised Messiah, because if he did, there could be a real fight in Capernaum in the synagogue. And Jairus didn't want to become involved with that. But the purpose of this whole story is to answer the question, what does it take to make us bow humbly at Jesus' feet and plea, Lord, help us? That's one of the main themes of this particular parable or miracle. It's both. Often as a little child, I must have wondered, is there anything else but that Jesus healed a 12-year-old girl? It's nice, but is there anything else? And I'm not sure I spent very much time on that question as a kid. But I know that through the years as I have sat in my study and tried to prepare sermons on this particular text, I thought, is there something else here that we are missing? And like I told you last week, Bishop Wright of Durham, England, opened the eyes of this preacher when he said, yes, there is a lot more to it than that. For Jesus was anxious to say that he wanted to heal and to raise all people who were dead in their trespasses and sins. But he wanted to confront them with this. What will it take you people? Now let's really make it personal. What will it take you people in the United States who are so self-sufficient, who seem to have everything, and now may be lacking a few answers, but you're going to come up with it some way or other, because the best minds in the world are working on the problems that we have. What will it take you to finally say, Lord Jesus, can you help us as we bow our knees before his throne of grace? That's a message that should be ringing out throughout the world today, not least in this blessed land of ours where we celebrate another holiday. The freedom that we have, what will it take in the United States to bring us to our senses that God alone has the answer for our problems, and we lift our eyes heavenward and ask him to help us? Well, there is another part of this text, and that's why I'm spending two Sundays on it. Too much for one. And the first 42 verses dealt with these healings. But the last verse, verse 43, is rather strange. It says, Jesus gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. What in the world was Jesus up to? Haven't you ever pondered that he said to them, don't tell anybody that I raised this little girl? Why wouldn't he rather say, go out and show them now, tell them, I'm here, I want you to know that I am the promised Messiah and the Savior of the world. Here is evidence of it. No. That wasn't the reason, I don't believe. But what then was the reason? And in my reading of late, Bishop John Wright, whom I quoted last week, has given us another quote that I think bears listening to. Says Bishop Wright, Jesus had not come to be a one-man emergency medical center. Don't you love that? Jesus had not come. That was not his purpose for coming. He was glad to do it. But Jesus had not come to be a one-man emergency medical center. He healed the sick. He raised the dead, three of them. We'll talk about that in a minute. But his mission, Bishop Wright says, goes deeper than that. Now, what is the depth then of his mission? Here it is, that one day he, the Lord Jesus Christ, will meet death itself, which threatens God's whole beautiful creation. And Jesus will defeat it in a way as unexpected as healing Jairus' daughter was unexpected. There's something deeper than that, than of a little child dying, sad as it is and glorious that she was raised. There is more, there is a whole matter of death itself that destroys the millions. 6 million in the Holocaust. Thousands who are dying on battlefields today. Many who are dying in accidents and terrible sicknesses, etc., etc., etc. The day is going to come when that death, in that sense of the word, has been captured. And when it does come, then we'll be able to sing with the writer Paul, who said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the depth. That is the depth. And Jesus did not want us to be so enthralled with these little miracles that he was doing that we did not get to the core of what he was trying to say. I am going to come to conquer death for all who will trust me. You recall he had other miracles. You remember the day that he went to Nain and they were burying a widow's son? And he stopped and told the young man to stand up and walk. They were taking him to the cemetery. And he did that. But Jesus was bigger than that miracle. What would that man have? Another few years with his mother? Then it would be death again. The old enemy would not have been conquered in that death of his, the first one, but the second one, death, would really be conquered. Remember when he went to Bethany and there were two grieving sisters, Mary and Martha? They wanted Lazarus back again. He was so close and dear, and he was such a good friend of Jesus. Why did he let him die? And so he went to the tomb and commanded Lazarus to come forth. And Lazarus came forth and was reunited with Mary and Martha and lived there for a little while. But then he had to die again. Same with Jairus, his daughter. She had lived to be probably 50, 60 years old in those days. But she ultimately would die. I don't mean to minimize those miracles. They did show his divinity. They were probably a part of his ministry, but not the core of it. You see, there is a greater depth to this text than just revealing that he has power and that he raised a little girl. The depth is something great is going to happen. When did that victory come? It came one day when evil men under the rule of Pontius Pilate took Jesus out to Calvary and nailed him on a cross. And in his body that day, according to the scriptures, he bore the sins of the whole world, your sins and mine, took our sins upon him and breathed his last breath, went through the same kind of a death that Jairus' daughter had gone through. And they put him in the tomb, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and Nicodemus was there to help him. And they sealed it, and then they sealed it real good, and they put a guard there, lest anyone would come to steal the body, as if they could. But on the third day, Jesus was raised, and the tomb was empty. And the angel said, "Go on inside and look and see where they laid him." And then you go, and now the message changes. You tell Peter and the other disciples that Christ had been raised. 40 days after that, when he had assembled his disciples outside of Jerusalem and was about ready to be lifted up and ascend into heaven, what was it he said? Did he say, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody? No. He said, go and tell the nation. Atonement has been made for your sin. You can be reconciled to God. You can live with him. You can live like he wants you to live, empowered by the Spirit. You can live everlastingly. That's the message. That's the core of it all. That's the heavy message behind that which is on the surface. That's the more that I was looking for. If not as a little boy, that was a more that I was looking for in my study when I was preparing these sermons. Now the message is, tell it to the world. Go tell it on the mountain. Not only that Jesus Christ has been born, but go tell it on the mountain that he has been raised from the dead. Apply that once more. Repetitiously apply it. Death will come to you and to me and to our loved ones, take them from us. And it will be a sad day. It'll be a sad day. And we will cry. And the days can get long, especially holidays like we're seeing them this weekend. Oh, if I could just have my loved one here, we could do so many wonderful things together, but he's gone. He's gone. And he's not coming back. But while you grieve over that and mourn sometimes and might even feel sorry for yourself, rightfully so, there is another message. If he died trusting in Jesus, he lives evermore. For death has been conquered. It can take us once, but not twice. Jesus took care of that. So because of that, we can bid our loved ones farewell. Again, our hearts will be broken, and our joy is turned into sorrow. But not really. Not really when we have our quiet times and think of all that he's done for us. That is what Jesus came for, friend. Death has been conquered. I hope the 5th chapter of Mark has brought new meaning to your life, primarily through the scriptures themselves, but also the insights of Bishop John Wright. What will it take to bring us to the knees of Jesus? And remember, death is conquered for us when Christ lives in our soul and we know him as a risen Savior and Lord. Amen.
Christ, we do all our glory, and we do praise thee forever. Christ, we do. Praise.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are reminded today of that great truth, where you have said, if you will abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We think of freedom today, and we give thanks to you that we live in the land of the free. We thank you for the freedom that we have here, for all of the blessings which come from it. We pray that no one will take that freedom from us. But we also pray, Heavenly Father, that we may look at that in depth too. For simply to talk about freedom to do whatever we want to do, good or bad, is not what you meant. But we will be free, that our lives may count, that they may be redeemed by you, and that you may use them in your kingdom. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, and give us a true understanding of what it really is, even in America, to be free. For even amidst all of our freedom, help us to realize that we can be enslaved to drugs and to all kinds of manifestations of Satan. Be with us and set us free. In Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We thank God for the freedoms we enjoy as citizens of this nation and pray you have a blessed 4th of July holiday. If you are searching for a way to honor someone close to you, why not make a contribution to Christian Crusaders in their name? An honorarium gift is a gift in honor of someone special who is living, while a memorial gift can be given for a loved one who has passed away. Both of these gifts can be made in any amount and given to remember a birthday, anniversary, or any occasion at all. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or call us to find out more about how to make this special gift. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders now offers podcasting. Please visit our blog at crusaderweeklyblogspot.com, where you can read our weekly e-newsletter, as well as subscribe to have weekly sermons delivered directly to your computer. With podcasting, you can easily listen to Christian Crusaders on the go and at your convenience. For a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 73rd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.